everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew coming to you from Minneapolis tonight.
That's right.
That true, Drew?
Yes, it is.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and we should have no troubles tonight. Occasionally, Drew and I are going to talk over each other because you don't realize it until somebody leaves the studio, but normally Drew sits here, and Drew has a lot of body language, like leaning back, drinking coffee, looking at his pager, wandering around, doing many various activities that aren't around the microphone.
Hang on, I got to look at my pager.
There you go, during the show. Okay. So I kind of know when to talk, which is all the time, and when he's not sitting there, I don't get to see him.
Isn't some of that body language just sort of frustration, sitting back at you waxing on and just sort of relaxing, waiting for you to finish?
No.
It actually is?
No. It's you looking at your pager, thinking about your wife, and basically hemming and hawing.
Okay.
And not doing your job.
Yeah, okay.
You realize, I did some math the other day. I was working out, you know, we get paid the same, which I find...
You're gonna start figuring out how much we're paid per word now?
No, I broke it down to syllable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did some math, and this is based on us being here the same amount of days, which is very generous. Because, as you know, I'm very dedicated to the audience, although I'll be gone most of next week.
Yes.
I found out that I get $1.27 a syllable is basically what I'm paid.
You need to work on economy of language.
Right. You're paid $842.23 a syllable.
See how much more meaningful my words are?
Yeah. I stayed up.
Worthwhile?
I stayed up last night going through tapes, breaking down syllables. I had an abacus up my ass. It was huge. $843.23 or something like that is what... I don't have the exact figures here, but that's what you get a syllable. And I'm now down to 90 cents a syllable.
Good times.
All right. So... how was the airport and everything today?
Easy. Really easy.
It was easy.
Add an extra, take off a half hour instead of adding an hour to your planning. You know what I'm saying?
Are you asking me?
No.
Well, because I'm leaving tomorrow morning to meet Drew in Ohio State, and I'm getting picked up at 6 a.m. to make an 8 o'clock flight.
Oh, six. The main thing is going to be traffic through downtown and all that. That's your main problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have a little conversation with somebody I told to speak to you about exactly what it was like.
Oh,
and he did.
Yeah, he did, and he added time on. And you're saying deduct time.
I told him to expect you to make the guy wait outside at the bottom of your palatial mansion
right,
for 45 minutes.
Don't factor that in, Mr. $843.23 a syllable. So you went through LAX today, and what was the heightened security? And I'm doing it tomorrow, and I'm interested, but I also figure people who are listening are interested in that.
All right, here's what it is. There's LAPD parked on the streets, and if you're not in a sort of licensed vehicle, they turn you back.
What does that mean, a license?
Like a bus or a taxi or a limousine, something like that.
Right.
The traffic in the usual circle, where it's usually awful, is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a boarding pass at the ticket counter. You can't go directly to the gate anymore.
Right.
They won't let you through security until you've checked in at the ticket counter.
Right.
That was much lighter than usual.
Right. Give me a percentage wise.
50%.
Half the people that are normally at LAX.
Yeah, in my humble estimation.
Okay.
I was not at my usual. I was at Northwestern. I wasn't at the usual Northwestern, not the usual.
Right.
I'm just answering questions.
Hold on.
Anderson.
Shut up, Anderson, please. I think people are yelling at him to shut up. He pushed a button. What I'm saying is I think I'm interested in what the procedure is.
All right, and so there's one extra step before you get to security. A guy wants to see your boarding pass. Then you go to security. It's the same fast food workers there, you know, doing their thing.
Right.
And they have a heightened thing they go through where they put everything on the conveyor belt and they look at it very carefully. But there's no one in line at security, so it takes a lot less time than normal.
Right.
And you go to your gate.
All right. So overall, if you're driving if you're being driven by a town car, limousine, or something, and you can drive right in, you're probably going to get through there faster.
Yes, you're shaving time.
All right. Thank you. Drew, do you got the calls in front of you?
I do.
Well, what's the weather like in Minneapolis?
About 60 degrees, we just said 55 degrees, and rainy as hell.
Fantabulous.
Yeah, prepare for that.
Okay. You want to pick the calls? Yeah, maybe lightning.
This is Nick.
Nick, you're 14. Nick? Boy, Drew, you're really uncanny.
Good times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good times. All right, you want to pick another?
Yeah. Rodney. I wait that one on hold.
Wait, I may hit that. Rodney, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
45, what's up?
Is this Dr. Rue?
Yeah, that is.
Okay, now, I've got a question I've been worrying about or wondering, and it's just, you know, kind of giving me low esteem.
Steam?
Well, or something.
Little steam.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I've been well endowed and, you know, stick straight up. And I was in the penitentiary for 14 months.
What for?
Straight. For aggravated assault and residential burglary, which I don't steal and I don't, you know.
Whatever you did, Rodney, thank you for being honest. I don't think we've ever had
that question answered.
Hey, listen, Adam, have we ever had someone actually come forward and tell us precisely what they were in jail for?
Well, I just told you.
No, I know. You're the first. It's usually parole violation.
Yeah.
Well, that's what put me in there for the 14 months.
Right.
It was for alcohol and public intoxication in a dry county in Arkansas, Boonville, Arkansas.
Who did you assault?
Okay, now, this is not going on radio or it don't. No. You know, needs to be worded better. But DTs. See, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hadn't slept for 3 days and hadn't had any alcohol or food, and I was hallucinating. I don't know. Right. If you're a doctor, you should know that.
I know. Yes, right.
And I really believed there was people after me.
Right.
And I was running, and I was knocking on doors, and I say, you got a gun? There's people after me.
Think about DTs. They have about a 60% fatality rate, so you're actually very fortunate to have lived through that.
Yeah. Well, Rodney is.
It actually doesn't sound like you have DTs. You had something called alcohol hallucinosis, which is this, you see bugs, you see small animals, you start getting paranoid.
Or you think somebody's after you, or, you know. I could walk down through the road, you know. I mean, if you got the time, you know, I could explain the whole thing to you.
No, it's okay, Rodney. What's your question?
My problem is, I got put back into the penitentiary.
Yeah.
For something where I went up, knocked on a lady's door, and said, "Please, lady, let me in. They're after me."
Yeah.
And she opened the door and looked kind of wild and crazy, and I was scared, so I went in.
Oh.
And I said, "Come on in here. You know, they're gonna come around here. You know what I mean?"
Yeah, but let's get to your question. What's your question, Rob? Right. What's the question?
I always love those assault stories where you hear the version of it, like you hear Don King's version of killing a man with the heel of his boot on the curb, you know, and it's like, I feared for my life. You know, Don King's 270 pounds. This guy's like a jockey, like 5'1", 105, you know, and he threatened, and you beat him multiple times about the head with a Super Bowl ring. Well, okay. Whatever you did, you didn't just go in and call the cops. You must have done something to her.
I walked in their door and locked it and said, "Come on in," and then the law come and got me out. And they said, "Criminal trespassing, aggravated assault, and criminal trespassing."
Right.
And I did not steal nothing. I didn't hit nobody. But that's beside the point.
I see. Okay.
But the woman's still in therapy. In a psychiatric hospital. Go ahead, Rodney. What's the question?
Okay. When I went in, you know, my penis was staying up.
Right.
Stand up.
Right.
All right. Okay. When I come out, is pointing down.
Good. That's and good. That's what I want out of the correctional facilities.
Yeah, right.
It's not a short one. You know what I mean?
Symbolic. No, it's not short.
But I feel self-conscious of it because it don't feel like mine.
Are you walking on your hands?
No.
No, that's what makes it go back up.
I see. All right. So
I'm wondering about piranhas disease. Have you ever heard of that?
Peyronie's.
Right, it's when a fish eats your penis.
No.
Peyronie's.
Peyronie's.
Rodney. Scar tissue or something.
Hey, Rodney, did they put a catheter in you when you were sick with the DTs?
No, they've never done nothing. They've never shoved nothing up my rectum either.
Yeah. Why would you have such a sad penis now?
Huh?
Even with an erection.
I'm 45.
Right. With an erection, it points down, right?
Well, I mean, it's not the same one.
Okay. It's a new erection. I see.
Rodney, try some vitamin E. Try 800 units of vitamin E every
day.
Will
that work?
Yes.
It might.
For you, it will.
If it's not going to work, it's going to be time for a surgical correction.
Like, and that's something drawing it. What about the, what's called the.
Right. It's called gravity.
No, the other.
Peyronie's. It might be a Peyronie's.
No.
All right. Hold on. Hey, Rodney.
I've been trying to call you for a while.
Rodney, are you still drinking?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay, but don't...
Continue till I stop.
Don't you think you're going to get into trouble again?
No.
Okay. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia from Arkansas. And I've got a motorcycle in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
And I got my three kids and my three grandkids and my ex-old lady.
Three kids. Boy, how are they
doing? Three grandkids at 45.
How are they doing?
They're doing fine. They love me. They come up.
Sure, right.
Run up.
I like the way
Grandpa gets some beer. Sure.
But see, I didn't see them for 10 years.
All right.
You know?
Hold on. Drew, does your goddamn pager have to go off into the microphone every night? I never noticed how annoying that was.
Yeah.
A lot of times I can't think real quick to say what I want to say.
Right. Okay, stop.
But
you got to stop drinking.
I wanted to say then.
Well, Adam, he said he'd stop when he'd drink till
and
he stopped. That's what he said.
All.
Wait, all right. Drew, would you put him on hold for Christ's sake?
You do that at your end.
I'm trying. It's not doing anything.
Then hit his button one more time and then put it on hold.
And who said it's my job? Yeah.
There you go. You had him? There you go.
Oh, Drew with that pager.
Okay.
Drew's really, did you hold the pager up to the microphone? Is that what you do?
No.
You actually do that? All right. You don't have that thing? It doesn't vibrate?
It doesn't have that setting, this one.
Really?
No. Well, at least not that I figured out. Not that I figured... I can't... It doesn't have it.
They got it.
It's an email pager.
All right, Drew, put it somewhere else. It goes off every night. Just yell at the person who does it. Don't they know you got a gig? All right. All right, Andrew. Brooke?
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Nothing. I love you guys. Love the show. I listen to it every night.
Thank God that Rodney has three kids and three grandkids.
Oh. I have grandkids at 45.
Listen. You know, we make fun of the ethnicities on this show and maybe in Southern California.
You do.
I do, and Drew does in his heart and soul. But we forget all the white trash that covers this country like a really bad tablecloth.
Oh, Adam, I got this thing to vibrate.
Oh, good times.
Keep it in your pocket.
What's up there, Brooke? 15.
Right. All right, here's the deal. I've had some major family problems since I was pretty young. I mean, it was nothing like abuse or anything like that. But it was just like, you know, my family's been depressed and, you know, everybody's been sick. I've been drinking since I was 12. I've been smoking since I was 13. I've been able to drive a car since I was 12 because my parents can get blackouts. And so
you are not an alcoholic, though.
No. No, I just, I'm saying I...
Adam, you see that?
She's non-alcoholic.
She is non-alcoholic. She doesn't give me the feeling. She ain't got the chain.
All right.
Go ahead.
Right. And it's just, you know, I've been trained to drive a car because my parents blackout. It's just a complicated situation.
Your parents are alcoholics, though.
No, they're not.
Why do they blackout?
No. It's basically my mom, but my dad travels all the time. My mom's sick all the time. My brother's sick all the time. They both have... you know, diseases and problems like that. You know, I don't want to go into detail. It'll take too long. But basically, my mom has blackouts sometimes due to the diseases and problems she's had. And with my dad out of town all the time for his job, I've been trained to drive a car, basically.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been driving since I was 12.
Okay. All right.
So I talked to my dad the other day because, you know, everything's just gotten worse. And I was like, you know, I felt so depressed lately, kind of like... You know, I don't know if it's a panic attack, but I'll get so short of breath and so kind of like jumpy and freaking out.
That's a panic attack.
I've almost did the
sort of world situation contribute to your panic? The World Trade Center stuff?
No, not at all. That has
You're not affected by that? Okay.
No. It's just like, I don't know if it's a panic attack, but I can't breathe and I get
All right, it is.
Dizzy.
It is. It is.
That's a panic attack.
And here's, and basically what's happening here is you've become the parent at a time in your life when you need emotional nourishment and support in order for you to develop your own internal competencies, your own sense of yourself. You're not getting that, and there's really nothing there for you to manage your feelings, and all your body has in response to those kinds of overwhelming kinds of feeling like depression is anxiety. You see?
Yeah, I see. I put her on hold.
She wants to ask if there are medications she can take, and there are.
All right, tell her.
All right. For panic, Paxil is good. You need to see someone who knows how to treat depression, because it sounds like you're primarily having depression. And it may be more about just treating the depression, not so much the panic attacks.
And that's a 15-year-old girl who sounds like a 35-year-old Vietnam nurse.
Yeah. Wasn't that true?
She absolutely did. And I don't mean old, like, oh, she's been chain-smoking her whole life. No. Her voice is raspy.
Like, through
that it. That did not sound like a 15-year-old human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a human being who was taking care of the parents and driving mom, who had blackouts or who passed out since the age of 12.
Yep.
Okay, what's up there, Drew? Meg?
Yes.
25, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I just had a question. I can't seem to get into a relationship, and I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Well, we know. We've been talking about this for a while.
About old Meg. Yeah, specific. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Meg. I figured you would have called sooner than this.
Okay.
Meg, what happens? What's the matter with your relationships?
It's not even that. It's not that I've never been in one in the past. I've been in many relationships. It just seems over the past couple of years it's gotten more difficult for some reason.
You're fat.
True, please. It may be true, but...
More what? Difficult to find a relationship or more difficult to find a decent relationship?
A decent relationship, more. Yeah. People say I'm too picky, but I really don't think so.
By the way, that should not be taken as a compliment at all. Let me translate, you're being too picky, which is, listen, you steaming pile of ass. Look at your, when's the last time you took a look in the mirror? Now let's go. What do you want, Prince Charming?
No, I'm not even necessarily looking for somebody who's perfect. I'm just looking for someone who's, like, respectable.
What has happened in your previous... Meg, what has happened in your previous relationships?
My previous relationships have been okay. Like, up until I was 19, I came into recovery when I was 19. Mm. Up until then, I was in just, you know, random relationships. No big deal, just pretty much teenage relationships, no big deal. And then over the past couple years, I've had two serious relationships, but they didn't have staying power. You know what I mean? The guys were just irresponsible and immature and completely lame.
Well, listen, here's the question that all females should ask themselves, especially in youngish females. You're 25 years old. What about the guys that you're attracted to? I mean, you get this string of guys that are not abusive or anything, but not maybe good relationship material. I'll bet there's a lot of guys out there who are good relationship material that you're not attracted to. And what about being attracted to those guys?
It's not even that. It's less of a physical thing. It's not even...
I know. I didn't say anything about physical. Yeah. I said
that's what most people imply when they talk about that kind of thing.
Most people may do that, but why don't you listen to me? I said, why aren't you attracted to the guys who would be better guys? I didn't say
better
what they
relationships.
Like. I don't mean attractive. I mean, why wouldn't you gravitate toward those guys?
What happens when I develop, like, I start to get to know these guys is that they turn into friends.
Oh, this is interesting. No. Hey, what Adam's getting at is are you a trauma survivor?
No.
What?
No.
I wasn't getting that.
Yeah, you were. Because why would she sabotage relationships? Why would she attract guys that were sort of not such great guys?
I'm saying that women, younger women, and I would say younger, and Drew, you tell me, you stop me if I'm wrong and tell me what you think the number is, but women under the age of about 27, 28, like guys that run with a slightly faster crowd. I'm not talking about biker troublemakers. Yeah. I'm not talking about dating Tommy Lee or Billy Idol. I'm talking about guys that aren't ready to settle down.
The alpha male types.
Guys that have a little faster paced life. Yeah, and there's plenty of schmo guys who would like to be in a long-term stable relationship who are 24, 25 years old. But women, sometimes at 23, 24, 25, and certainly at 18 or 19, aren't ready for that guy.
That's right.
And Meg here is 25. She's been through some recovery, and she's getting the point where she's saying, I'm ready for that guy, or I'm becoming ready for that guy.
And it may be happening to you, Meg, at 25 as opposed to 21 or 22 because you spent those years using, and you really needed to develop from when you got sober until now, and now you're ready for the more substantial relationship. And it takes some work to go out and find that person, and you will.
Right. If you're better. Right?
She is. She's better.
All right.
Yeah, if you're well.
And Drew, what is that voice, too, of the 25-year-old chick who's recovered? Do you know that voice?
Yeah, I heard it in her immediately.
Yeah, it's like a little salty.
Yeah,
it's harsh.
It's cigarettes.
It's cigarettes. It's a lot of coffee. It's a lot of late nights, and it's a lot of talking.
Yeah,
it's a lot of rationalizing. But there's something that's a little. There's a little edge to it, which is don't F with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen worse than you, and I've kicked their ass. And you want some? Bring it on. It's not necessarily aggressive. It's just I've seen it all, and you ain't gonna pull. There's nothing new you can show me.
It's a little sort of hyper vigilant. You know, it's just sort of guarded and like ready for action.
It's just a tonal thing. It's weird. Yeah. We talked to somebody who was 15 a few minutes ago who was a very old sounding 15-year-old, but didn't have any of the qualities that Meg has.
None.
Then there's that recovering female voice of Meg's, which is just. It's like somebody put a voice box into all recovering female women, and they sound exactly the same.
Like Meg.
Yeah. She's the voice of all recovering women over 25. All right, Drew, should we take a break?
Please.
Okay, Drew's over there in Minneapolis. It's raining, yes?
Yes, and Adam, I want you to speak to Peter as soon as you get off the air.
Yes, I shall.
And you'll know why.
I shall give a real talking to young Peter. And we'll be back with more of your calls and questions after this. Love Line. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Minneapolis this evening, where it's actually raining. And I hope it's raining when I get there tomorrow.
You will love this weather. It's cold. It's weather.
That's what I'm needing. That's what I'm wanting. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. No guest. Drew?
Yep.
You ready to rock?
Brittany's up.
Brittany, you're 19. What's going on?
Hey, my cousin is 19 years old, and he moved to Arizona about a month ago. And he called my mom this morning saying that he went to bed with a bump on his cheek, and he was feeling sick to his stomach. And then he woke up this morning and he felt fine, but his face was swollen and he had like a black eye. My mom told him to go to the emergency room, and he's like, well, I have to go to work and blah, blah, blah.
No, he should have gone to the emergency room immediately.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the thing. That was this afternoon around 2 or so. And then like around 7:30, his roommate called and was like, I had to take your cousin to the emergency room because he was delirious and sick and blah, blah, blah. And it was a really brief conversation, and we haven't heard him since.
Oh, my God.
So I'm wondering, like, if you have any idea of what condition he might be in, or if that sounds like a spider bite or what.
Well, it sounds like basically something called cellulitis, which is infection gets into the soft tissue, and the problem is it gets in the orbit around the eye and can track into the central nervous system really easily. It can be a very, very serious infection.
Can it be fatal?
It can be. I mean, these days, those kinds of things are pretty... You're pretty controllable, but boy, he really waited way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. Hopefully he'll be okay. Hopefully he won't get a meningitis or anything like that from it.
Oh, how do you get this, Drew?
I don't know. I don't want to freak Brittany out anymore, but I'm very occasionally there could be tumors behind the eye and things that can kind of present like this too, but that's usually in young kids. And mostly this is just like a zit that goes bad. And the infection gets going in the soft tissue, and it literally is the flesh eating bacteria. You know that they have.
Don't worry. And let me tell you, it breaks my heart to see a zit go bad. You know, they drop out of school, they start running with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, it really is. It's a sad state, but it's that idea is the bacteria gets into the soft tissue and starts spreading, and again because of the proximity with the central nervous system, it's a big deal.
That
it's in the head.
Like cold sweats and clamminess and
absolutely. It's just a bad, bad infection. Probably staph or something like that.
It's funny that Brittany brought up a spider bite. Because right before we went on the air, I was, just now coming back from the commercial break, I wanted to tell a story about a bug being in my room, and I was almost late because of it.
What?
But I thought, forget. I have these weird bugs that live on where my house is. I've never seen around my house, anywhere but on my property, basically, and all the millions of houses I've lived in around where my house is now, I've never seen this bug before. It's a crazy looking centipede sort of bug that has a million legs and runs 1,000 miles an hour, and it's big.
Silverfish.
Drew.
Like that?
Drew.
You've never seen it before.
You think I've seen a silverfish before?
I would think so, living in North Hollywood and all.
Yes, and I say...
Yeah, in fact, you made a bed of them one time.
I said it was big and looked like it was big. I'm talking right. about 2.5 inches long and black Yeesh. and really Whoa. Crazy legs. And Drew, I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking about I've seen them 3 inches long, but they average about 2.5, and they run 1,000 miles an hour. And I don't think they're dangerous, but they're the creepiest looking creatures you've ever seen in your life, and no one has ever seen one. I actually captured one and tried to show it to an exterminator. He didn't know what the hell it was.
Wow.
He told me to move. He started chanting and praying, and then and he slid out the front door, and the door closed by itself. He told me to move. But anyway, I see these things around all the time. I hopped out of the shower tonight. I was running late. I went up to my room. I turned the light on, and there it was, right in the middle of the wall. Ooh. And I was just staring at it, and it was a scene out of, like, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where it was close right. up on my eyes, close up on the bug's eyes, you know, and it was sitting right in the middle of the room, and I was just staring at it, and I didn't want to smash it. I mean, you smash one of these things, it's like having a buffalo carcass in your room. I mean, it'd take days to clean it out of there.
It's like a potato bug.
I'd have to repaint. I really would. I said I needed a glass to put over the thing, and then I would slide an envelope underneath it, and then I would...
But you couldn't break the eye contact, though.
Exactly. So I'm standing and I'm staring at this thing, and it's right in the middle of my white wall, in the middle of my bedroom, and I'm looking around the room, and there's nothing. The only thing there is like an empty, you know, Avion bottle, but it's not going to fit into the mouth of that thing. It's got a little opening, and I'm looking, and there's nothing. So I'm staring at the thing, and I'm staring at the thing, and I run across the hall into the other room, and I'm looking for something, an ashtray, something clear, something I can trap it. Nothing. I run back. It's still there, but I'm saying to myself, the second I run downstairs and go to the kitchen, I know when I come back up, it's going to be gone.
Of course.
And I actually step out of the room a couple of times and step back just to try to catch it, and it's moving, but it's not budging. It's sitting right there in the middle of this big wall. Mind you, it is, without exaggeration, is 9:32 now. I'm staring at the clock. I'm still wearing a towel. I just stepped out. I mean, I'm going to be late if I'm not in my car in the next minute and a half. I run downstairs. I run back upstairs. Where's that goddamn bug when I come into the room?
Under the bed.
Nowhere. Not where it was. And I'm thinking, I'm totally freaking, because I'm like, there's no, I'm late for work now, but I got to find this bug, because I can't, there's no way I'm going to work and I'm going to come home and go to bed tonight. Oh. It's in there. It's in the room. Oh. It's under the covers. It's somewhere. It's breeding. It's planning, you know, it's hatching a plan. I know it. So now I got the flashlight. I'm like, I'm on my knees. I got to find this bug, except for I have about 40 seconds to find it, because I'm already late. And Drew's not going to be in the studio tonight, and I got a car picking me up at 5:30 tomorrow morning. I find the bug, and I throw a wine glass over it, and I run out of the house.
And it's sitting there with a wine glass on it.
There it sits, in my closet, yes. And let me explain what's going to happen. I'm going to take a sleeping pill downstairs tonight. I'm going to stumble up about 1:45, and before I kick the light on, I'm going to knock over this wine glass. 486 stitches my right foot, and I'll be eaten by this bug tonight in my sleep. All right, where are we? You got a call lined up there, Drew?
I do indeed. There she is. Carrie. Yeah.
Carrie, you're 19. What's up?
Hi there. Hey. I'm just calling in concerns to patterns of abuse and how to break them, because I've had a really, really bad habit in time with even just this young of picking just the worst of worst losers. Abusive losers. So I don't even get anything out of it, and I get beat up for it, too.
Oh, you actually get physically abused?
Well, sometimes, but the worst so far has been emotionally. I mean, I can give you horror stories that have made my friends cry.
Do you read books? Do you try to educate yourself about this kind of problem?
Yes, but it's just the type of men I'm attracted to.
Women who love too much, or men who hate women who love them?
Yeah.
Those sorts of books, yeah.
Those types of scenarios, and you know, I'm so scared.
But have you read those books? I'm asking you, Carrie, do you read about
your I didn't condition? Know you were asking, jackass.
Oh, I said, no. Do you read about this stuff?
Hey, you were giving, like, examples. That didn't sound like you were asking.
Well, she said, I read these books. You've got to educate yourself about what you're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get better, you need to get treatment.
Yes, sir.
Who beat on you?
Pardon me?
Who beat on you? Your dad?
My first boyfriend.
Yeah, No. Before that.
I've just had, my father never, ever touched me. My parents have never touched me. They've been very loving people.
No. You never had an eating disorder?
Nope.
Somebody screwed you up.
Not that I know of. It's just, I think I'm just weird like
well,
that.
You know, Adam, it does happen where people get it, women get in these cycles of abuse, these sort of victim roles they can't get out of. And it doesn't always start with victimization in childhood, though certainly, as you well know, the vast majority of the time it does. But they can certainly get into that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we play the odds on this show, and we always seem to be right. But, you know, it's 95% of the time, and you may be the 5% who just finds abusive guys.
Yeah, well, I also wanted to comment that I'm in a relationship right now, and this guy's just outstanding. I'm so scared that he's going to be another one, and I'm constantly just looking for excuses to run already. And
well,
I'm
that almost, by virtue of how you're behaving, suggests that he is not an abuser.
Yes, yeah. If you're looking for excuses to get out, he's a guy you need to stay in with.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's amazing. He's working on his master's right now. This man is just so...
Well, maybe this is it. Maybe this is going to break the cycle for you. You picked a good guy.
I'm just so scared. Is there anything I need to watch for, even if he...
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Carrie,
yes.
You're a human being, right?
Yeah.
You're in a relationship with another human being?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to... set up a transit and see if the building shifts or not, whether to evacuate. You're a human being. He's a human being. You're in a relationship with him. You can't, you don't know whether he's going to start being abusive. You don't feel like you know him.
I know him, but I'm just so scared of past events. You know,
I know. There's idiots out there, but you love this guy. You trust this guy. He's a good guy. He's working on his master's.
But the others have been surprising, too. She thought they were good guys, and all of a sudden...
I know, but I'm saying, don't go through life looking for clues. You know, start feeling.
Blatant warning signs I should watch out for.
Well, it goes upside your head with, like, a shoe.
Is there... Does he have trouble containing anger? Is he aggressive? Is there any...
I mean, he's actually studying abnormal psychology. That's his major.
Well, that's the one to look for. Yeah, I was going to say, run. Are you in the house now? He's upstairs. Get out.
No.
All right. Listen, Carrie, listen, how did you get so, how'd you become such a mess with two loving parents who never raised a hand to you?
Were you adopted?
No, I'm a military child, and I've moved every 2 to 3 years, so I'm thinking that might be it.
Okay. That does affect kids. It really does.
Yeah. Read those books. Get a little therapy. And here's the thing, everybody. I know it because I've been there myself. You don't go through life in that posture of waiting for people to do things to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
If you, and I don't mean be aggressive and put on that BS bravado facade where you're going to screw anybody who gets near you. I just mean don't walk through waiting for people to drop bombs on you. Waiting for dams to break. Waiting for the other foot to drop. It's a sad way to go through life. You're 19. I'm sure you're attractive. You have things to offer. You're a good person. You can figure these things out. You have a mind that functions. And don't just sit around waiting for somebody to abuse you. It's not a good way to go through life.
Yeah, I mean, if there's reciprocity, if he has respect for you, if there are good boundaries, if he has no previous history, if he's not using substances, if your family system is intact, if there's no aggression in the family, that's a good sign. And then you wanting to sabotage or run from the relationship is also a sign that he's probably a good guy.
All right. What percentage of our listening audience knows what reciprocity means, Drew?
Zero.
Thank you. All right, let's talk to Sandra. Is 27. Sandra?
Sandra. Hi.
All right.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a very close friend that I've learned to love. We're very honest with each other. But I have a habit of falling in love with gay men, and I've been really attracted for him lately. And I don't know if I should tell him. I mean, I know nothing.
Is he gay?
Yes. Yes, he's gay. And
well, why not tell him? Nothing's going to happen either way.
No, I know, but I'm afraid that I'm going to lose him. I'm afraid that he's going to get all funny and weird with me, and he's just going to, you know, turn tail and run. But on the other hand, we're so close, we're so honest with each other that I feel like I'm lying to him. I feel like I'm not being the type of friend that I should be.
Adam, correct me if I'm wrong. The turn tail and run thing is something that a straight guy does if he's afraid he's going to get the full court press.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The gay guy knows it's not going anywhere.
Let me tell you about the gay guy. He'll turn tail, but he won't run. That's part of being gay, is turning that tail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
He turned the tail?
Yeah. Okay.
But what about, I mean, what if he gets awkward with me? What if, you know, I don't want to lose him, and I don't want him to feel like he has to hide anything from me. I mean, he tells me.
Didn't I just finish saying that that's not likely to happen?
I don't know. How old is this guy?
25.
Hold on a second. I got to yell at Pete. Pete, stop picking the nuts out of the goddamn mixed nut can. He's driving me nuts, Drew, over here. He's picking nuts. I'm looking at him through the glass. He's picking out all my good nuts. He's got all the cashews and all the almonds he's going for. Put the goddamn can down.
Hey, I got to eat from that can next week. Stop it.
You want these nuts.
There's nothing worse than watching a guy pick out all your good nuts from your mixed nut can in there. Put that can down. I can't work watching him do that. So it's a form of segregation. It's the only kind of segregation I don't agree with is picking out the good nuts. Sandra? Sandra? He's only taking the almonds? I love those almonds.
My favorite.
Yeah. And here's what you get. You know what you get at the end of that can? You get no almonds, and every other nut has been through Pete's greasy paws. So get used to it.
Well, you know what? I know all the Freudian implications of falling in love with gay men.
Sandra, just stay focused on reality, okay? Mm-hmm. You keep trying to connect with impossible love objects. That's it. If you want to change that, change it. If you don't, fine. He is not likely to turn tail and run. He's not likely to get awkward because there's no possibility of a relationship. That's a further distortion on your part. He'll be amused that you feel that way about him.
Yeah.
Your relationship's not going to be changed.
Maybe flattered. How old is he?
He's 25. 25.
Does he take good care of his skin?
Yes.
Yeah. She said he's gay.
I know.
Yeah, of course.
Gay men glow. They're like 100-watt light bulbs. They glow. They glisten. They wink at you. I don't mean their eyes. Their cheeks wink. I mean, they just glow. They beam. They're like new brides, these gay men.
You are so jealous, Adam.
I know.
He's not your stereotypical gay man. I mean,
stop, Sandra. Who cares? He's gay. Stop talking yourself into this. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Your levels of denial are profound. Forget the Freudian implications. Just start dealing in reality for a change.
Okay. And let me float this theory. About that. And Drew, you tell me what you think about this one.
All right.
A guy can be attracted and fall in love with any woman, gay or straight, but if it's... Pete, put the nuts down. Jesus Christ. Right in front of me does this. I can't think with him.
Oh, the humanity.
Nuts. Drew, could you concentrate watching a guy devour your good mixed nuts right in front of the glass?
I'm 2,000 miles away from that thing of nuts, and now I'm pissed. I'm thinking about nothing but those GD nuts.
Yep, you're going
to... What do we do every night to eat those nuts?
Pete's greasy hands all over all the good ones.
Yeah, but I want them now. Right now. You don't understand.
All right. Now listen to this theory.
I know you want these nuts.
Listen to this theory. A man can be attracted to a woman solely based on what she looks like, obviously, right?
Right?
Yeah. Women do a little of this, too, but for women, it's usually more... There's many more... facets that they're attracted to in a man. So if a man was attracted to a very beautiful woman that happened to be lesbian, you could almost just say, well, look, she's a hot chick and he's into her, and she happens to go down on other chicks. But when a woman is attracted to a man who's gay and really falls in love with a guy who's gay, that's a woman who's looking to not be in a relationship.
That is correct.
That there is more than that.
The guy is always looking to not be in a relationship.
Right. So
there you go.
Sandra, don't call me Sandra, is unrealistic and needs to find a guy who she can be intimate with and needs to be open to that. And we're going to take a break. Who are we going to talk to when we come back, Drew?
The damn thing just clicked off. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. Line two.
We'll talk to Aaron, who's 17. Runs track, hasn't had her period for 8 months, and wants to know if there's going to be problems when she gets older. We'll tell her about that after this.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in rainy Minneapolis tonight.
Beautiful.
Yep. Rainy. Like to see a little rain around here. Phone number 1-800.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we may be doing the lightning round tonight. And, of course, the lightning round has been expanded not only to check the time, but a little check of weather and traffic, too. You know. Yeah, look out for brake lights on the 405. That happens when people press the brake pedal, you know. Aaron?
Hello?
You're 17. What's up? Oh, you run track?
Yes. Pretty much I run cross country and track, which is during the fall and spring. And consequently, I don't get my period during those times. The only times I get it is like winter once. And it's terrible.
Right.
To compensate for the fact that I don't get it, you know, the other months.
Hey, right. Drew, do women who exercise a lot lose it because of low body fat? Or is something involved with the exercise as well?
I don't know for sure whether exercise plays a role. I know the low body fat definitely does.
What about exercise and women creating higher testosterone?
Interesting thought. Or I think mostly what it does is not so much to do with the relative effects or levels of testosterone versus estrogen, but it prevents the cycling from occurring. So the estrogen levels remain flat and the cycling doesn't occur.
Is it because her legs are always moving and her vagina is constantly in motion?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
That's what I was thinking.
But Aaron, it can be a problem over the long haul, especially if it becomes associated with dropping estrogen levels, which is what Adam's referring to, which can happen. You can end up with a softening of the bones. Sometimes people will actually supplement you with estrogens.
Yeah.
There may be an association with premature ovarian failure and infertility.
Uh-huh.
So it's something to really pay attention to and maybe talk to a doctor about.
Okay.
How far do you run a day?
Well, it depends on, like, what sport. For cross country, we run, like six.
6 miles.
Yeah.
I respect the cross country running, but I don't really look at it as a sport. It's just a way to, you know, keep people busy. It really is. It's like, hey, you guys all here? Yeah, see that mountain over there? Yeah, go run over there and then come back. What the hell is that?
No, but I think it requires, like, a lot of mental, like, self-discipline and mental toughness.
It does, but so does cutting on yourself. You know what I'm saying? I just don't count it as a sport. That's
I have a question. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
You have to answer me this, though, first. Have you seen someone about this yet?
No, I haven't. I mean, people have warned me about it.
Will you? Will you?
I guess, but I don't see it as, like, I'll ask my physician about it.
All right, Aaron, didn't I just explain? Do you want to be infertile?
No, but, like...
Do you want to break your hip when you're 30?
I will, but, like, I didn't know how long I should wait, but I think this is pretty, like, long.
Okay. All right. What's your other question?
Okay, my second question is kind of, like, I guess a moral dilemma I'm kind of going through right now. Basically, for the past, like, 17 years of my life, I mean, I haven't had, like, the ideal relationships with my parents. I mean, they've never really try to, like, you know, find out stuff about, like, what's going on in my life or, like, how school or, like, sports is going. So, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, I kind of felt neglected. But
do you have other siblings?
Yeah.
How many?
Two. Older.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's that. And I've pretty much gotten used to it. And, I mean, I'm, like, insensitive towards it. I mean, I'm immune to it. And this year, I'm beginning to realize them attempting to, like, pry into my life and... And, for example, they were so insistent on coming to my senior year open house, which is extremely rare. Because, like, freshman year I asked them to come, and they refused.
You know what, Aaron? This is the Adam Carolla syndrome.
Thank you.
It's they won't attend to anything until it's too late, and then, man, it's too late.
And so, like,
you won't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, so, and I don't know how to respond to this, because, like...
Adam?
Okay, listen. She's 17 years old. And I know it feels like 100 years since they've been interested in your life, and why are they turning it around now? But 17 is still a relatively young age. And the point is they're trying to make an effort. And there's nothing in it for you not to let them in.
But she experiences it now as an intrusion. It's not that they're interested, it's they want to invade, they want to control, that kind of thing.
No, I think that's you doing a little projection.
No.
I think she's angry for their lack of participation
in
her life in the past, and her feelings like, look, F you, you want in now?
Right.
Well, I don't want you in.
Too late.
Too late. But I'm saying the fact that she's still in high school and they're wanting to go to her open house and stuff is not too late. It feels too late to her because she's only lived up until 17 years of age. But this isn't like she's, you know, 34 and she has a grandkid and they want to come see it now for the first time.
Yeah, she should let them in.
Let them in. Make it easy on them. Make it easy on yourself. And maybe tell them about your feelings.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Hey, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, you're 19, Aaron.
Hello?
Yes, you met on the internet. You're engaged. You're going to get engaged in a month, or you've been engaged for a month?
We've We were engaged. I met him about 6 months ago, and I got engaged to him about a month after I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going through a serious nervous breakdown, and I was living with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me back home, back to my parents' house, so that to protect me from his nervous breakdown.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Okay. And are you still together but not living together?
I don't know. That's what I don't know. I mean, every time we talk to each other, we still say I love you and I miss you and all that.
All right. We got to take a break here.
Right. Okay, Aaron, we'll get to the particulars of this question after we take the break. Hey, Love Line, y'all. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Minneapolis is where Drew resides tonight.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Good times.
Good times over there. It's raining. It's like
beautiful.
It's weather to sleep by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad I'm not going to do much of that.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
As a human being living on this planet, wouldn't you say it's important to have a little range? That just like it's better to sleep when it's dark out and be awake when it's light out, it's nice to have a little cold, a little weather every once in a while, a little rain.
Sure. Absolutely. Some people that are raised in it really miss it when they don't have it. You and I really didn't get raised in it.
No, we didn't, but we miss it anyway. Aaron?
Yes?
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
What's up? Oh, that's right. I talked to you. You met a guy on the net. And just to make sure people really know that I don't read these questions or in advance and try to formulate some sort of answer in advance, I can never remember the last question we had even when we're in the middle of talking to him. So Aaron met a guy on the net. She moved in with the dude. They got engaged. The guy had a nervous breakdown, is still having a nervous breakdown. He moved you out of the house because he didn't want to expose you to it. He's 20 years old. He says he loves you, but you don't know where the relationship stands, correct?
I need some details. Where did he move you? Where were you living?
I was actually living in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia with him. And how long had you known him before you got married, did you say?
No, we were just engaged.
Oh,
we were friends on the internet for years before we actually met each other. And we met each other. And we
years?
Together.
Years?
Well, a year and a half at the most.
And how long had you been face-to-face spending time with each other?
Well, we were together. Well, he came down to California to see me, and we moved back together.
How long were you out there?
Okay, so that explains it.
How long were you there?
6 months.
6 months you were there. Has he had previous psychiatric hospitalizations?
Not that I know of.
He calls it a nervous breakdown. Is it really a nervous breakdown? Is he able to work?
He's able to work, but that's all he's able to do.
What does that mean? What does nervous breakdown mean?
Well, he doesn't think that he's good at anything. He thinks that work is the only thing he's good at. He's not taking care of his mother. He's got issues with his father. Mm. That his father was never there when he was a kid.
All right.
And now his father's back in his life. And
why is that a nervous breakdown?
He's got issues.
Yeah, just being an idiot.
Right now. He can't function. He can't.
He goes to work. He goes to work.
He pays his bills, right?
Well, he's in debt right now. If he had the money, he would be, yeah.
He goes to work, right?
Yes.
Is he seeing someone to get treatment?
No.
Why not? Well, can't you? He
wouldn't go.
All right, hold on a second. Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
You kind of thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes. Just at the very same moment you were thinking it.
Right. We're going to kill Pete for eating our mixed nuts. No. He's on the internet with this chick for a year and a half.
Yes.
He's a 20-year-old guy. They start, having a serious thing. He moves her out all the way from, he moves out from Philly. They live together for 6 months. He has a nervous breakdown. I'm holding my fingers up in quotes.
Yeah.
Which is basically, you take any 20-year-old dude and move him in with a chick for 6 months.
He has a nervous breakdown.
You start climbing the walls a little bit.
Yeah.
You start freaking a little bit. And he says, I'm freaking out. I have a nervous breakdown. It's got nothing to do with you, but I'm moving out or you're moving back.
And what is with Aaron that this is the best thing she can do in a relationship? I mean, think about that.
And he's not attempting. I mean, a guy who's having a nervous breakdown throws himself on the court of psychology and says, please help.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can't sleep.
Right.
I can't eat. I'm freaking out. I'm having panic attacks.
Well, and by the way, the first thing that goes is work.
Yes. You cannot have a nervous breakdown and show up at your work for 40 hours a week. So I'm guessing it's certainly not a real nervous breakdown. The question is he going through some emotional times? Yes.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of guys like a woman by their side when they're going through some issues
of course.
With family and things like that.
Sure.
I know Drew does, but he's a passionate, passionate man. Aaron?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little more to this. Maybe it's the relationship that he's freaking out on.
Well, that's what I thought at first, but, I mean, we talked about it several times before I actually left, and I've actually left and gone back to visit, and we've talked about that, and he says it really has nothing to do with me, but I don't know whether or not to believe
that. So what's the plan for you two? Are you going to move back in together at some point?
Well, we're both sort of waiting for each other in a way, and...
You're waiting for him.
Well, he's waiting for me, too, so he says, and so do all his friends say. I mean, I'm still close to everyone out
there. Wait, what is he waiting on? He's not waiting for you. You're not anywhere.
Well,
he's waiting for him.
He's waiting for you to pick up the phone when he calls and tells you he's done waiting.
Yeah.
This does not make any sense at all, Aaron.
Aaron, there's a certain amount of fantasy that's involved with this and you. With this, we're waiting on each other. That's BS. You're waiting on him. He's the one who freaked out. You're ready to get on with the relationship. Okay, he's going through a tough time, so give him a little space. But just make sure you're clear on what's going on.
Yeah.
You understand?
By the way, how many 19, 20-year-old guys can be totally honest about stuff like this, particularly a guy that needs to form relationships over the web?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Ever. And I think, Aaron, I think you get a feeling about this that you don't really want to confront or discuss, but you got a little negative feeling about this whole thing too, right?
Yeah.
And it may be that the relationship, it may be more about the relationship than you think, and a little less about the breakdown. But I'm not saying it's scrapped. I'm just saying be open to the truth.
Right. That's right.
We're waiting on each other. No, that's not the truth. You're waiting on him. Andy?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
You know what our job on this show is? It's to make people who already feel bad feel worse. I've really just realized that. You called this show because you weren't feeling too good? Now you're going to kill yourself.
We'll take care of that.
Thank you. Yeah, I know there were still some shreds of dignity and hope left in your life. It'll be gone in the 4 minutes you speak to us. Andy, you're 22. What's up?
I want to thank you guys. You guys have made lots of long drives with me.
Thank you.
Anyway, Adam, you probably know about Breaking the Seal. Having a few pints with my buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hold out using the bathroom because I know once I do, I'm going to have to go every 5-10 minutes.
Game on. Yeah.
So I was wondering if Dr. Drew could maybe clarify that for me.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's talking about that sort of at least apparent syndrome of you don't take a whiz for 8 hours, you're drinking some beers, and then you take that first whiz and it's game on and you're taking a whiz every 14 minutes after that.
Because that's what it takes to go through you. You're waiting as long as you possibly can, and now the spigot's open and because it's now gone through and you have to pee and you're going to have to pee again.
Well, Adam,
it's not like what you put in your mouth goes directly to your bladder. It takes a little while.
It seems like some sort of phenomenon to me, though.
Yeah, what about that, Drew? What about the witchcraft side of urination? What about the macabre, the unseen, the supernatural side of urination in your bladder?
Thank you, sweet spirits. Let me see.
No, listen, it takes an hour for that first six-pack to hit, and then once
exactly.
It hits... And
it's going, yeah.
Well, not only that, but Drew, tell me if I'm wrong here, or let me give you an example. Let's say you have a kiddie pool, and you turn the hose on in the kiddie pool, and you're filling it up. Well, it's going to take an hour to fill up, right?
Right.
But once it fills up, from that point on, each bucket you pour in is going to overflow. And if you pour in a bucket, it's going to overflow every time you pour that bucket in, every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but your bladder should empty pretty completely.
All right, well then why? Then why is it game on?
Because it's going through. The buckets are starting to be tossed in now.
Yeah. It's like that scene from Fantasia. With those mops,
right, that's
with those
right.
Mops come to life.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe it also has something to do. I mean, just thinking about peeing and hearing running water and that kind of stuff gets guys going.
Thank you. All right, Drew, you got another call there?
I do.
Lori?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just moved back to California. I was living in New Jersey for the past 2 years, and I just got back and just like last week or the beginning of this week, I got a phone call from my ex-boyfriend back east telling me that he has HPV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, like, what the first signs are.
There are no first signs. You got to get a pap smear and see if there's any evidence of that on the pap.
My problem is I'm flat broke right now, struggling with stuff. Is there clinics that do free tests?
You can go to Planned Parenthood, or I'm sure there are places here in Redondo Beach, but try Planned Parenthood for starters. The thing is, if you must have it if he has it, and that means you need to get more frequent screenings, so you might as well get started up right away.
Okay.
All right, hey, good times, right?
It's not a big deal. I mean, it just needs to be, checked out more carefully. You need to have more frequent pap smears, and it can increase your risk of cervical cancer, but that risk can be taken away with proper follow-up.
That's warts, by the way, and oh, my God. And, Drew, I know you've made that phone call many, many times because you're a passionate, passionate man. I, thankfully, have never had to make that phone call, but I couldn't imagine. You know that phone call where your doctor tells you to call all your partners?
Suspicious. It would look like the scene in Players where he picks the phone up 400 times.
Yeah, and explain what you gave him.
Swingers, yeah.
Right. I mean, oh my God. If that happened now, I would have to have my assistant handle it. Hi, I'm calling on behalf of Mr. Carolla, Mr. Carolla's genitalia. he regrets to inform you that he's contracted cramps, herpes, HPV, and shingles and scabies. He suggests that you he will however send a car and a driver over to take you to the clinic of your choice. Thank you, Jason.
Yes,
you're 27.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. My question is, I avoid confrontation, like see people in halls, or like I look at them and I kind of get really nervous. My heart beats fast. I like kind of start sweating, and I have like a dry mouth and stuff. So
just seeing anyone as you pass them in the hall.
Sometimes, I mean, it could be a guy that I have like had a confrontation with before, and I don't want to like confront him and my beliefs or anything like that.
Well, how did you have a confrontation with him before if you avoid confrontations?
Well, I had a trick question. I don't want to get back to that. I don't want to bring that back up.
How did that one happen?
Now, that was a fine answer to my question, by the way. How did you have a confrontation with a guy if you don't have confrontations? Well, I'm trying to avoid him so that doesn't come back up.
I'm going to go at it again.
Okay.
What was the nature of that confrontation? How did that go down?
Basically kind of disrespect him in a way, and then I tried to apologize for it.
But hey, listen. Hey. What exactly happened?
I stuck his hand up in his face.
You did?
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody else at the time.
Why'd you do that?
Because his question or comment was unimportant.
So it's funny. So you, Jason's got a little, he's a little angry for a guy who doesn't like confrontation.
No, he's very aggressive, and he's afraid he's going to unleash in himself, I think.
Really? I don't call it very aggressive, Drew.
I think so.
Are you angry, Jason?
No, I don't think so.
Well, why would you stick a hand up in a guy's face who was... If you're scared of confrontation, you're not very aggressive.
Disrespecting, I mean, the guy was just talking.
Right, I don't know. I guess things happen in my life that I'm just not... It's just starting to go out of control, and I start worrying about everything. I don't know.
Right.
I don't want to have, like, I don't know, just kind of like, I don't want to have people get in my way, so I just kind of put them to the side.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so here's the deal, Jason, you called because you said you were like, you had a fear of confrontation, but really, you're scared of how you're going to act in front of other people.
That's right.
When a situation
would that be
arises.
Somewhat like of a codependency? Like I don't.
No. You should see someone though, Jason. This can be troubling. You do have trouble holding a job, that kind of thing?
No, that's not a problem.
What do you do for work?
I'm in the military, and I work at a large communications company. Mm-hmm. And I go to school.
First of all, don't join the military.
All right. So here's the deal. This doesn't sound like this is killing you or destroying your life, but it's an issue that you want to deal with. You're 27 years old, and it's time to start dealing with it, right?
It's not a big. It's not really a big thing, but there are occasions in my life where I just start freaking out about small little things. Or
all right, I put them on hold.
There's something going on with Jason.
There's something going on. It's not really a fear of confrontation.
Oh, no, no.
But
no,
there's,
no,
a
no, no.
there's a little there's anger like behind
there's
it.
There's like, you know, like an antisocial quality to all that.
Right, right. Yeah. And then there's a fear and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, yeah. Here's the point. Therapy, and a little therapy. Thank you. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
I went to my gynecologist recently, and they told me that I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Did they suggest you watch your diet and learn about diabetes, that sort of thing? Did they talk about that at all?
Well, I took a blood test. This is the second time that I had gone, so I could take a blood test because I was on birth control, and then I was taken off of it for a while. I've been off of it for 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she said because the levels of the hormones in my ovaries are imbalanced. And
that's right. So you tend to form cysts and you won't cycle normally.
Right.
I'm going to ask my question again.
Hold on, Drew. Let's do a little Loveline reenactment. I just love this show. There's got to be something wrong with the phone lines. All right, go ahead. I'm going to play young caller Sarah, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So Sarah, did they...
Let me start.
All right.
My doctor said I have polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay, a syndrome where you'll tend to form multiple cysts and not cycle normally.
Mm-hmm.
And did they begin talking to you about your diet and about educating you about diabetes?
I took a blood test. And the doctor said that I wasn't cycling normally.
You went back for the blood test?
I took a blood test. I mean, okay, I may have fudged it a little bit, but that's basically how our conversations on this show go.
Yeah, it's nice.
Now, Drew, the only thing I can think of is that people can't hear you correctly. Drew, do you ever... you know those movies, you ever feel like a ghost in a room?
Yes.
And
talking, yelling at the people, and they can't hear you?
The world is having a seance.
Yeah.
And all you can do is make the drapes blow a little bit maybe blow out a candle every once in a while, but you can never get your message across. You're like Houdini yelling at his wife.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hey, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what about diabetes? Did your doctor talk to you about that? Oh, okay.
No. All right. That's another important part of this syndrome is that that you'll tend to be what's called insulin resistant. And it increases your risk of diabetes when you get older. And there's a lot of focus now being put on dietary management and exercise when you're young. And they might also put you on the birth control pill to keep you cycling. There's a lot of information out on the web about this. The Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, I think, has a big sort of PCO, polycystic ovarian disease, a site. So check that out, okay?
All right. I put her on hold because she got all that. Hi, Drew. You got another call lined up there, Chan?
Sure. There we go.
Let's talk to Becky, who's 27. Becky?
Hi.
What's up?
Basically, I just had a question. I have two siblings, an older sister and a younger brother. And we have a mother who's kind of, she's done some very strange things. And we have experienced some abuse, but not like run-of-the-mill abuse. I mean, we're talking like, not, in addition to emotional abuse, she used to like, stage burglaries, and at some point she set her house on fire.
This is Adam, sort of exotic abuse. Exotica.
Right.
You give her credit for flair.
Well, we've given her plenty of credit, but
Puckishness.
What our question was, is there something other than schizophrenia or something like that that can cause this? Because we don't know.
Well, of course. There are hundreds of psychiatric diagnoses that can cause peculiar behavior. Why isn't she evaluated, or hadn't she been evaluated?
Well, she's very intelligent, and every time that she's ever gone to a psychologist or gone for help, for some reason she winds up counseling the psychologist. I mean,
that's BS. That's BS, Becky. That's what she tells you.
Right.
That, believe me, that's not what happens.
Well, that's what we get. That's
what she says. So that kind of that kind of thinking and that kind of distortion suggests something called a personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And if she's real wild and chaotic, it's probably in the borderline or narcissistic category. So you can sort of look up borderline personality disorder, and you'll probably see a lot of stuff that sounds kind of familiar to you.
Hey, Becky.
Uh-huh.
I've contacted a couple of drifters. I'm actually interviewing now. I'm going to have them off some of my family members.
Uh-huh.
And a guy told me that if we do it in a kind of a group rate kind of thing, that we can get a break. Drew's already put his dad on the list.
No.
Yeah, it's true, because he's so cheap. You're up in Upland?
Yeah.
Because this guy, he doesn't want to drive that far, but I think if you could get your mom out here to more of the Pasadena, North Hollywood area,
uh-huh.
we could probably take her out, too.
Okay.
Because at this point, that's really, you're 27, you're out of the house.
Right.
They are driving the old man crazy, or who's there?
She's actually been married 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah.
She's how old?
She is 54, 53. Now.
This is like bipolar with a personality disorder.
Right. Yeah.
And you need to get her treated.
Is she married still? Or?
Right now, the last husband she had was younger than I. And she met him on the internet. She met this fellow that she's with now on the internet.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. I can't actually have contact with her right now just because I have a lot of anger that I have to deal with.
Right. But here's what I'm saying. You know, she sounds like Beretta's wife. You know
right,
what I mean?
That's
and
right.
At a certain point, don't we just put someone down? I mean, Drew, how many... Now, you know, she's a youngish mom in the sense that, you know, if she was like, you know, 68, 70, it'd be like, oh, just Christ, just pad the room and call the life. There's, you know, 50-something is still some hope. But on the other hand, Drew, realistically...
Well, borderlines.
You know what I mean? This woman's been nuts her whole life.
No, actually, borderlines tend to settle down in the 40s and 50s and 60s. They tend to get better all of a sudden, spontaneously even. So if it's just that, she may look forward to some improvement. But it sounds like there's some mood disturbance here, too. And again, that can be treated.
All right. But, Becky, do not make it. She's already ruined the beginning part of your life. The first third of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let her ruin the second two-thirds of your life.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You do what you think is responsible and prudent. But if she's not going to accept it, let her just spin out.
Right. That's what we have to let her do now. Because it's beyond us. She doesn't take responsibility for any of these things that she's done.
Right, right. And I'm saying, if you want in on the drifter thing, that's going to go down. Well, of course, I can't say the exact date of the hit on the air, but it'll be before the end of the year. And I'm going to try to line it out. I'm going to try to do it this year before the Super Bowl.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Becky.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Good times.
What do we got on that? Drew, you're on that?
We got a timeout here.
We got to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, who are we going to speak to, Drew?
Oh, I thought we'd talk up with Dane from Oklahoma.
Burdane. Mm. Dane is 22 when having sex with girlfriend. Other stuff comes out of him, not just semen.
Right. Well, it comes out of somebody. It doesn't say who.
Oh, may come out of the girlfriend. All right, after this. Oh, yeah. Hey, Loveline. No, madam, that's Dr. Drew over there in Minneapolis. We're doing the lightning round tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for this nation to get back to the business of lightning, and lightning round
traffic
is coming on. Yeah, and just new additions to the lightning round. Not only the time and the math done for the time. Drew, are you there?
No, that's Dane. Oh, who I think is hung up on us.
Okay, good. Not only that, but traffic and weather. Been added to the lightning round, and you know, I'm thinking in weeks to come, maybe a surf report.
Yeah,
Ace Rockola doing a surf report. You'll have to have a surf reporter call in.
Yeah, I should have a guy. I should have a guy call in.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that is, no, Dana's not there.
That's right. Dusty Trunks will call in. I gotta have like a really bad radio name.
Hang up and try.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
Hey, jackass, go to bed. Okay.
Brian.
Yeah?
Hey, Drew, you ever do those things? You don't live alone, so you don't do that thing where you call your message machine at home and leave yourself messages to remind you to do stuff when you get home?
I do stuff like that, though.
Nobody does that? Sure, you do.
No, I've done stuff like
that. Everybody does that.
I do that in my office.
No, here's what happens. Here's what happens. You're sitting at work. You're sitting in your office. For me, it's a man show. And somebody says, remember, you got to bring your yearbook in tomorrow because we need a young photo of you or blah, blah, blah. And you're sitting in your office and you're thinking, I'm going straight from here to Loveline. I'm never going to remember that goddamn yearbook. So you call your house and you leave.
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
So here's what I do. Okay, so it's like, I always throw in something like, hey, good looking, hey, hot stuff, loving you.
You don't.
Yeah,
you
do. I do to build myself up when I get home. You're good. People love you. You're a powerful, strong man. Women cannot resist you. Men fear you. Oh, and don't forget your eighth grade yearbook. And then I hang up. But here's the beauty of me. An hour and a half later, I'm sitting at my desk. I get bored. I decide to check my messages. Nobody. Oh, there's one message. Who is it? It's me telling me to remember to get my yearbook. Now I have to cancel my own message and then call back and leave me another message. Or I could save it. But if I save it, I'm not going to check my save messages when I get back. You never feel lamer than when you call your house to check your own messages, and the only message on there is you leaving you a message. Thank you, Brian. You really feel like S. Go ahead, Brian.
I feel like S just hearing the story. What's up, Brian?
The real scary part's when the first thing is I go, that dude sounds like me. Like the first three syllables. All right, go ahead there, Brian. You're 15.
My girlfriend, she lives in Louisiana, and I live in California, and, like, we're really close and everything, but I don't know if I should, like, dump her for a girl that lives closer to me or if I should keep with her because this summer we get together.
You're, you can't get out to Louisiana once a week or so?
No.
No. How did you meet her? How did you meet? You understand it's interesting that you're going out with someone at age 15, someone who lives in Louisiana.
Well, she originally lived here in California, and then like she moved out there because she has to live with her grandparents or something like that.
So you were dating her or seeing her out here?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is doomed.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
And you're dating someone who had to move in with her grandparents.
No, it's temporary. She's moving back here, though.
A horrible sign. Horrible.
Why does she have to move with her grandparents?
It, I don't know. It's just something with her family. I don't get it, really.
Drew, yeah, that's you what I'm saying. Talking about.
Yeah, it's a bad sign. I agree. That's why I was giving him a chance to tell me something. You know, Dad is now ambassador to Yugoslavia or something. No.
Dad's ambassador to the drunk tank in Montrose. All right, so, hey, Brian.
Yeah?
You're 15. Forget it.
Okay.
She lives in Louisiana, for Christ's sake.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Good times.
Well, I think he listened to us.
I do.
Who's next?
He knew that was the answer.
Darren?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I may work a little surf report into tonight.
I think it's worthwhile.
Okay.
I do really wonder what the surf is. Yeah. I mean, it's coming in November and all.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I mean, my problem is that every time my girlfriend and I go try to have sex, I can get up or nothing like that. I mean, everything. I mean, it's just every time I go try to have sex, it just goes straight down.
Are you on any medication?
No medication at all.
And no medical problems?
No medical problems at all.
All right. And are you nervous about this relationship?
Excuse me?
Are you nervous about this happening?
Well, I mean, I've been with her for about 3 years. The first 2 years, it was just us messing around, nothing like that. I mean, no sex or anything like that. But, and this last, like, six, maybe 4 months, every time we try to have sex, just straight down.
So you've never had sex with her successfully?
Oh, never.
And you started dating her at 21?
Yeah.
And 2 years, no sex?
3 years.
Oh, yeah. Two years, no sex. I mean, it was just straight messing. I mean, we communicate. I mean, we were like, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, we communicate. We can both, we can.
He used the S word, we had to cut you off. Hey, Darren?
Yeah.
Are you a religious person?
Oh, no, not religious. I don't believe in God at all.
Good boy.
Is this relationship super intense for you? Is there something about it that's sort of overwhelming?
I guess, I don't want to disappoint her.
Yeah. Sounds like you just put a lot of pressure on yourself. When the relationship's been going on so long, you sort of, and you're building up to this act.
Yes.
And it must be very difficult, very anxiety-provoking, make you very nervous to try to perform.
Yes.
And after all, it's just another person you're just trying to express some intimacy for.
Why is it that you didn't have sex for two or three years.
I mean, we were friends for about 4 years before we even got together. I mean, we were just...
Once again, no answer.
Hold on. Loveline recreation.
Why didn't you have sex for those first 2 to 3 years?
Well, we were friends for, you know, 4 years before we got together. I'm just repeating it exactly how it comes back to us. It really sounds bizarre when you hear it told again. And it's like, I never know how filthy I am until once in a while I have to read some kind of transcript of something I said, and then I just realize what a disgusting, filthy, and unimaginative person I am.
I'm glad you realized that.
Thank you.
That's good.
So, Darren, the reason you guys didn't have sex for 2 or 3 years is because you were friends before you got together?
Okay. That you understand that doesn't make sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me now.
I mean, I love her. I mean, she's not, to me, she's not a friend anymore.
I understand that. So she stopped being a friend about 3 years ago.
Oh, two.
2 years ago. And, okay. And why didn't you have sex for the 2 years that you dated?
I have no idea. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how to explain it, really. I mean, we were friends. I mean, I don't know how to approach her. Yeah. I mean, it's not like one
okay.
thing.
Okay. All right. So... Now,
this is that weird thing. They're in Weirdville.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Past Friendville.
Has your penis worked in other relationships?
Oh, yeah. I've never had a problem at all. Just when I got with her, that's the only problem I've ever had.
Yeah, but this woman you idealize. She's perfect. She's wonderful. She's things that you... Yeah, but just another person.
Yeah.
And she really... I think you need to figure out a way to relax and be more realistic about this woman.
Okay.
And when you are not so nervous about it...
She's just another girl to me then, right?
Well, I mean,
not that she's like another girl, but I mean, like, she's not, I don't know how to explain this.
She's not a deity. She's not somebody perfect. She's somebody you care about very, very much, but don't build it up so much to such a big deal that it becomes overwhelming to you.
Right. Your penis does not want to have sex with superstars. Your brain does, but your penis is freaked out.
Yeah.
You make her into the Virgin Mary. And your penis is going to freak.
Right.
And Darren, just relax. And I don't think there's anything physically wrong with him. I think he's just freaked himself out because he's probably been pining for her for 8 years. Mm. And now he's naked with her and he doesn't know what to do. Yeah. You know, you can only, Drew, tell me if this is true. If you fantasize about nailing somebody for too many years before you actually get a shot at him, it screws you up in a big way.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying, brother? No, you know what I mean? I mean, this guy's probably been wanting to hump this chick for 6-8 years, and now he's naked with her, and he's freaked.
Yeah, it takes you out of reality.
Right. Dane?
Dana's back.
Oh, right. What's up there, Dane?
Oh, not much. I got cut off on that last one, or the phone died, something.
Okay.
The question was, when we start to get into intercourse, and a few minutes into it, it's like, there's other, I don't know, it's weird, hard to explain, but there's other substances or fluids coming out besides cum.
All right.
Coming out.
What in the world it could be, I don't know. She says she's not peeing on me. I mean, I don't know.
It's coming out of her.
Yeah, exactly.
And
nothing to do with me, I hope.
Is it when she's orgasming?
I mean, no, it could happen at the beginning. It's happened afterwards. I mean, it's just during. I mean, I don't know, it's just periodically whatever this is, it'll happen. I'm not sure. She said, and also, I guess, in a way, I mean, we'll start out and everything will be fine. She's a very clean girl, you know, and it doesn't smell. And all of a sudden, the smell will start to, you know, build up. And then before you know it, it's just unbearable. And she feels uncomfortable and doesn't want to have sex, you know, because of it. And
the smell's unbearable.
Kind of a complex, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Does the fluid that comes out smell?
That's what causes the smell, yes. But it's not cum. I can promise you that. I know the difference a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I like a guy who knows the difference between cum and urine.
Oh, and smokes a lot of pot.
Woo! Wow, do you smoke some pot?
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow, you really smoke a lot of weed, Dane.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know it.
That smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah.
No, weed, drugs are bad for you, sir.
Yeah. Man, do you smoke a lot.
You're living proof of it. You're living proof of it.
Dane, when you laugh and nothing comes out, when you go...
Wow.
What is it about weed that does that, gives you that laugh? I mean, Dane is a 22-year-old guy. It's not like it's not his lungs and his throat at this point.
No, it's his brain.
It's his brain? Well, it doesn't let you audibleize when you laugh?
I don't know, but certainly we hear it.
Okay. If she has some discharge and some odor, she may have some kind of infection.
No, I it really sounds like this is some sort of secretion she has during sexual arousal. It's sort of a female ejaculate.
Because it's being summoned.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It's
from being, the bowels of hell?
It's being produced.
Right.
And for whatever reason, her fluids have a certain odor, and it's troubling to both of them.
All right. Should she just swing by the gyno just to float this one?
Sure. But I don't think this is infection. I really don't.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break, and we're going to come back with the lightning round. All right.
After. And a surf report.
Yeah, that'll be part of the surf, traffic, weather, of course,
time.
The time, and the time squared, because we do the math on the time, because that's important in radio. And the newly added surf report to the lightning round after this.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Oh, my mother.
I'm Ace Rock Old, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew coming out of Minneapolis. Yeah, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm going to come out of the Love Line. Smack dab in the middle of the lightning round. That's the fastest 14 minutes of radio. Let's check the time real fast before we move on here. Dr. Drew, you over there doing good? Hey, Doug, looking hot. Passion. It is 11:45 straight up. That's 15 minutes away from the top of the hour. The witchy hour going winner. We're going to hop back on the phones and talk to you about your love problems. First, quick check of weather. Dime Bar coming in 61, Montreal 63, Montclair, the Montrose Pass, coming in 65, Eagle Rock 54, Norcore 59, Thousand Oaks, a cool 46 degrees, Bellflower 55, Corona 57, San Luis Obispo 61 degrees, North Hollywood, Grand Square 66, Canoga Park, Riverside, and Upland all coming in respectively 62, 61, 59 degrees. Let's check traffic real fast. First, no, let's check the time. No, let's get back to the traffic. It's Jack Knight Truck Track Trailer on the 118. It's a little slow and go over there. Watch out for brake lights on the Cajon Pass. That means people are touching the brake pedal and the lights are lighting up. Look out for brake lights on the 405, the 110, and 170 exchange. The debris on the road on the 405, right as you get off there, Lottier by the airport there. And California Highway Patrol, Chippy's running a traffic brake eastbound, westbound 210. All right, let's hop to phones first.
Quickie old, baby. Woo!
Let's get a quick surface board. We got a Venturas coming in westerly swell. Zuma Beach overhead. Trestles 3 to 5 with sets of 5. Redondo Beach coming in 2 to 4 sets of 6. You might want to get out there for that.
Ace, you're doing your own. You're doing your own surf report.
Yeah, I'm doing
own Ace.
I know what you're blowing up, but anyway. All right, let's hop back to the phone.
Showing some real rage there.
Showing some rage. Let's check the phone. First, let's check the time. It's 11:46 and 30 seconds. That is 13 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top of the hour straight up. You're smack dab in the middle of Fast 14 after minutes of radio. I'm Ace Ruckles, a good part of their love line by the hot. So, Colleen calling from Seattle 23. What's going on, West of the Rockies? What's happening there? International. Yes, Rob, we're going all over the country. Yes, what's up there? We're all the way in Seattle because you're in Seattle and you're calling us. You're hearing us on a radio station. What's on there, Colleen?
Hi.
23 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just calling because I went to the gynecologist, and they told me that I have chlamydia.
Right, I'm with you.
I've only the only sexual experience I've ever had was when I was 14.
You're 14.
Right. How old was the guy?
Twinkie old, baby. Wow!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old was the guy?
Yeah.
22. He's 22. And hold on a second, Drew. Ledger reminds me. 22 degrees in Upland. It's freakishly cold out there. Montclair checking in 61. Montrose 63. Pasadena's coming in at 56. Eagle Rock Area 54. Norcore 49 years. 49 degrees in Norco. Thousand Oaks 46 degrees. We're going to check them in the weather and traffic later on. Coming up, we got a traffic report. Is Colleen still on the air there? Colleen coming in 23 years old. Colleen, what's the problem?
No surprise that guy might have chlamydia. And the chlamydia is something you can have for years and not know it. In fact, that's how it does most of its damage. That's how it can impact on fertility so profoundly. It stays in the tubes and damages the tube function.
Speaking of damage, there's still debris out on the 405 and the Lottier exit. Slow and going. Look out for brake lights on the Cajon Pass coming to 118. Slow and check. Night big rig up there. Let's check the time real fast. 11:40. No, it's 11:48 straight up. 12 minutes away from the top of the hour. The Woodsy Hour. 12 minutes. I'm Ace Rock Owens. We've got all the partner there, Dr. Drew. He's over there. He's coming from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Riverside coming in at 61. Up Upland 59. Let's get back to the phone. Speak to Joe. Joe's 20 years old. Joe, what's going on? Expect to have in the middle of the lightning round. Fastest 14 minutes of radio, by the way.
My problem is I have social anxiety disorder.
That's right. Hey, right. Joe, I could give you the answer, but I'd have to kill you. All right, so no, seriously, folks, let's check the time real fast. 11:48 and 40 seconds. That's 11 minutes and 20 seconds away from the top of the hour, straight up. Go ahead, Joe, which question? Social anxiety.
I was taking Paxil.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't working very well for me. It started to taper off at the end, and I was like getting really shaky if I missed a day and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, there is a withdrawal from Paxil.
Slow and going to 118, yeah.
And so I switched to Wellbutrin and Prozac.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a bad combination?
No, CHP's run a traffic break over the 210 westbound, by the way. Look out for that.
Mattress in the number 3 lane?
Disabled motorists in the number 4 lane. That's the left lane.
Yeah.
Disabled motorists. I always like that one. The F does that mean? Disabled motor. Let's check the time real fast. It's 11:49 and 30 seconds. That's 10 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top. Diamond Bar checking in. 6-1. Bellflower 59. Corona 57. Overhead at Trestles, everyone. And Redondo coming in with sets of 204 to the west. What's up, Joe?
So, yeah. Joe, Prozac Wellbutrin is a very powerful combination, and but it's good. You have ADD also.
They're an ADD. CHP run a traffic break on the 110 southbound. Yeah. What's that do? Let's check the time real fast. 11:50 straight up. 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. 12 midnight. The witchy. I'm H. Rock Holland, the good old Bart over there, Dr. Drew. Upland checking in at 59.
If I'm not there,
Riverside coming
you.
In at 61. Canoga Park, 62. North Hollywood,
like
66. San Luis Obispo, 61. Corona Del Mar area coming in at 57 degrees. Bellflower, just go outside. You'll know what temperature it is. Thousand Oaks coming in at 46, 49. Norco, Jingle Rock, Pasadena, we're coming in at 55. Cajon Pass, slow and go. Look out for brake lights. Let's hop back on the phones there. Let's speak to Kelly. Kelly, 27 years old.
Yeah, hi.
What's up there, dude?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you.
Baby, you sound hot.
Thank you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been listening for a short while.
There's a new listener, All right. Yeah, well, hold on a second, Kelly. I checked the time real fast. 11:50 and 55 seconds. That's 9 minutes and 5 seconds away from the top of the hour. Straight up. I'm H. Rock. Go look at a partner there, Dr. Roo. Pastor, man. Kelly, go ahead. 27 years old. Calling in on San Jose. Yes, that's right. We're live and nationwide. We got a 500,000-watt flamethrower coming to you live every night. Nationwide, live, nationwide. 27 years old. Go ahead.
Wow. It's really hard to keep up. I'm really surprised they put me through because I absolutely hate the lightning round.
Hold on a second.
Yes,
hold on.
Me too.
Hold on a second.
God bless you, Kelly.
Listen, I don't like the lightning round either, but we got to do some good radio every once in a while. Eagle Rock checking in at 54 degrees. Norco, 49. Thousand Oaks, 46. Bellflower, 55 degrees. Debris on the 405 over in La Tierra. They're cleaning that up, but it's slow and go all the way out to the exchange.
Some furniture in all lanes.
Yeah. There's disabled motorists in the number 3 light on the 118. That's northbound. And look out for brake lights on the 405. Kelly?
Yes?
You hate the light around.
Well, you know, while I'm here, I might as well ask questions.
Right. Hold on
a
second.
Good idea.
I got to check the time real fast.
Well, you
understand?
You should. It's been a while.
It's 11:52 and 15 seconds. That's 7 minutes and 45 seconds away from the time of the hour. Straight up. I'm Ace Rock Coles, a good old partner of Dr. Drew. Hot, passion, man. Kelly, what's your question?
I got to give up.
All right. Give up on yourself. Let me tell you something. The CHP, I just learned, is running a traffic break on the westbound 210, so look out for brake lights over there. Let's hop back on the phones. I'll give you some temperature. Norco coming in at 46, Corona 57. Hop back on the phones. Overhead at Trestles. Sets of 5 and 8 feet over there. So you guys want to get out there and catch us? Well, northeasterly. Wow. Let's hop on the phone.
What's the set interval there, Ray?
Set intervals coming about every 12 waves. They're coming in about overhead, like about 12 minutes coming out overhead. Ventura says swell's coming out of the west. I'll tell you that. And, like I said, Zuma's overhead. Trestles, Redondo Beach.
I heard there's a storm down in Baja that's driving.
Storm
that
down in Baja, which is causing wave, along with the amazing gravitational pull of the moon. All right, let's hop back to the phone. I like when they tell you what the goddamn what's causing the wave. Like, that's an important element of surfing. All right. I got to know what the wave's motivation is, or otherwise I'm not getting on it. You tell me some fat guy did a cannonball off of Costa Rica, I'm not doing it. Lions, hop back to the phones real fast. Oh, let me check the time real fast. Hot, patch, man. 11:53 and 30 seconds. 6 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top of the hour. These weather just in. Bellflower, 55. Norco, 49. Eagle Rock, 54. Pasadena coming in at 56. Cool, 61 in San Luis Obispo. We can go Park, 62. And it's slow and going. The 118s, so look out for brake lights. Drew, you want to hop back to the phones? Overhead at trestles, 2 and 4 feet. Intervals, 12 minutes. Yep. Yep. Drew? I love it. I love it. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. I'm going to come back with more weather, traffic, surf report, and all that. And the time squared because of the math done it after this. Well, there you go. It's another fantabulous week of Bloodline. Safely put to bed.
I'll see you in the Minneapolis airport tomorrow midday.
God willing. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones all week. Lauren for, I'm not sure what she does. I did see her in here. I think she's looking for a dog. I want to thank Damien for doing a nice job monkeying with the phone and being just a general calming presence around here. I want to thank Anderson for doing a great job with those magic fingers of his.
Hey, you're a prick.
Potentiometers there, sliding them up and down. And, of course, producer Ann for putting her feminine stink all over the show.
Producer's vastly overrated.
Who's vastly overrated?
Oh, well, let's get on with it.
So, here's the thing about those drops, Anderson. They have to be decipherable.
They have to make sense, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Sad penis.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.